Today, the Australian wedges and credit push me pull you. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to this post covering finance and property news. Well, you may know that the push me pull you is a fictitious animal that Dr. Doolittle spoke about, and it was a very cautious animal, very shy animal. And here is a chart from 2020. It's a cartoon showing Boris Johnson being pulled in two directions at the same time. It's rather appropriate. But in the context of Australia, I think we have a problem at the moment. And that problem is that we have credit growth going in one direction, but real disposable income going in the other direction. And those are pulling in two different directions and creating significant tensions. And the way to encapsulate that is to look at the latest information from my stress series. This is to the end of February. And you can see here that mortgage stress and rental stress is rising. Rental stress is rising still. It's 76.9% of households in the rental sector having cash flow pressures. And mortgage stress is still around 50%, compared with 32.9% of borrowing households, which means that more people have cash flow pressures, money in, money out. I'll be running a more detailed show on this shortly. But today, what I want to do is to look at some of the underlying issues around this conundrum between the push-me-pull-you of credit on one hand, which is growing, and the question of income growth on the other hand. And to get to that, let's look at a recent report that came from the Statement of Monetary Policy from the RBA. They said that housing credit growth has increased further to a rate above its post-GFC average, although household credit has been declining as a share of household disposable income. They said owner-occupied credit growth is slowing signs of moderating, but investor credit growth has continued to increase, this despite house price growth and turnover, which typically moves closely with investor lending, having trended low in recent months. And they said also, though, that despite the increase in housing credit growth, total gross household debt net of offset balances has broadly declined as a share of household disposable income since 2018 and remains in the relatively narrow range seen over the past two decades. That's graph 120 there. But they also made the point that real household disposable income, a broad measure of income, is around 1% lower than prior to the pandemic. It's been the weakest period of real income growth since the 1960s. And that's alongside a period of historically weak productivity growth. Real labour income has grown over the past 5 years, they say, but that's been more than offset by lower income from other sources, higher interest rates, and higher tax payable. In fact, the largest component of household income, labour income, contributed around 4 percentage points to per capita household income growth. But while the real base wages has been weak over the period, labour income has been supported from other forms of compensation like promotions and bonuses, as well as switches to higher paying jobs and an increase in the employment to population ratio. They also make the point that the income tax has been a significant drag as well. And you can see that the gross mixed income per capita is lower than prior to the pandemic after accounting for inflation. That's graph B1. And also they made the point that despite some revisions from early 2021, the trends are still true. Which takes us quite nicely to what's happening to wages. Well, recently the ABS reported that the seasonally adjusted wages price index rose 0.7% in the quarters to December. And over the 12 months to December, the wage price index rose 3.2%. And in original terms, the largest industry contributors to quarterly wages growth was healthcare and social assistance up 0.6%, manufacturing at 1%, and construction up 0.7%. It's also worth noting, of course, that the public sector annual rise was 2.8%, and that was the lowest quarter since 2022, when it was 2.5%. Private sector wages rose 3.3%, and that was the lowest annual rise for the sector since June 2022. Now, depending on how you define inflation, the top level measure was 2.4%, but the underlying was above 3, then it suggests that in real terms, we are still going backwards. And it's interesting that we got also some data from another source, and that source was the SEEK data on salary growth by states. And they said that the advertised salaries were up 3.6% year on year, outpacing inflation. They used 2.4% for many workers, especially with mortgages or renting to pay. Living costs are still rising faster. And they also said with fewer people planning to switch jobs in 2025, overall wages growth could stay a bit subdued. And here is the trend. You can see there that there was a considerable drop around January 2021 after the COVID period, but it was then up around 4 to 5%, and now it's at 3.6%. And here is some data that shows that it's quite different across industries. So legal, real estate and property, banking and financial services, insurance and superannuation, education, training and government were at the top of the list. And retail and consumer products, engineering, consulting and strategy and advertising and arts and media was at the bottom of the list over the last 12 months. Up the top, 7.8, 6.2, 5.6 and 5.6%. At the bottom, 2.4, 2%. 1.8% and 1%. And over the quarter, there were falls in arts and media, a fall in retail and consumer products, and also a fall in sports and recreation. So it does depend on which sector of the economy you're looking at and which industry you're being employed in. Now let's look then at the credit data. And of course, at the end of the month in February, the RBA has released the latest credit aggregate series. This series, of course, gives us a view of what's happening, as it says, at the aggregate level. And if we look in detail at the information there, you can see there that at the end of January 25, total credit grew over the month by 0.5%, compared with 0.6% in December 24. And on the annualized basis, it was 6.5%, compared with 4.9% a year ago. Now, 6.5%, of course, is considerably above the wages price index that we mentioned before. And remember, the disposable income has gone backwards. So there's a concerning gap, a push-me-pull-you gap, between credit growth and real disposable income. If you look at it in more detail, the housing information shows that credit over the last year was at 5.6% in January, compared with 4.2% a year ago. And in January, it was up by 0.4%, compared with 0.5% in December 2024. Personal credit was 2.2% last year and this year on the annualized basis, and there was no change in January after a 0.5% rise in December. That, of course, is to do with Christmas. And then business credit, and this is non-financial business credit, was 8.8% in January 25, compared with 6.7% in January 2024, and 0.7% in January 25, compared with a month earlier when it was 0.8%. Also worth noting that broad money, which is the money flushing around in the system, was 5.2% in January, compared with 4.5% in January 24, and was 0.3% over the last month, compared with 0.3% the previous month. Now, we can look at it in more detail. This is the overall housing credit over the last year on an annualized basis. Read that to the left-hand scale. You can see there that we're 6% plus or minus. On the monthly scale, you can see there that it dropped away to 0.4. If we then look at the owner-occupied housing credit, you can see there that that actually has been rising since August 2023, and on an annualized basis is sitting between 5 and 6%. On a monthly basis, you can see that it did actually ease back over the last 2 or 3 months. Comparing now that to investor credit, again, on the right-hand scale, you can see there that it's been rising since August 2023 and continues to rise. Not as high as the previous peak back in 2015 when it was above 10%, close to 11%, or that in 2022 when it was above 6%. But it's still heading up. And it's also worth noting that on the monthly basis, it did drop back slightly this month, but the trend since last year is still quite strong. So what the RBA said in the Statement of Monetary Policy is correct. If we then look at personal credit, that is hovering around the 2%. There was a drop, of course, post-COVID, and then a bit of an acceleration, but it's still relatively weak. And you can see there that there's a lot of noise in the data, particularly over the last few months, and of course, December, where you get credit, and January when you pay it off. Non-financial business credit was quite strong, and you can see that it's been growing since August last year. And if you look at it in analysed terms, reading off of the left-hand scale, we're still in the sort of the 8% range, give or take. You can see there on the monthly basis, it has eased back slightly, and there have been some quite wild swings as well. And finally, it's worth just reflecting on the money supply. So money supply is obviously the aggregate money in the system, including, of course, that facilitated by the credit growth. And you can see there that money supply has been growing since August 23. It was, of course, dropping. And you can see there that the peak was around 2020. That was COVID. Now, that, of course, is the root cause of the inflationary pressures that we had. High money supply, chasing goods and services, created inflation. So my comment here is that from August, we're seeing a continued rise in money supply, until very recently at least, which suggests there could well be inflationary pressures in the system. And the monthly reading off the right-hand side shows that, in fact, it did drop back a couple of months ago, and then it's been wobbling sideways. So what we are to make of all this? Well, to my mind, the push-me-pull-you is a really good analogy, because we have things going in two different directions at the same time. We still have quite strong credit growth, and that's despite the fact, of course, the banks are grizzling about their ability to lend, and they want to lend more. We also know that many households are getting themselves overly committed. We see that in our mortgage stress data, but it's not uniformly spread. There are others that are doing quite well and are paying down mortgages. So the aggregate mortgage data, and therefore the average disposable income data relative to income, relative to mortgage repayments and debt, are actually being skewed by other people paying down. So it's the concentration of debt that we should be looking at. And the RBA was a bit light on that in this recent statement of monetary policy. To my mind, it's a really important point. We are seeing a greater concentration of household debt amongst some particular cohorts, and I'll make a show specifically on that later on. So we do have the problem. Credit growth is rising. Real disposable income is not rising and is not expected to rise for some time ahead, not least because of the increasing tax take now, as well as the high mortgage repayments and all of those other factors that we touched on. And of course, inflationary pressures are still running through the system. Average prices are still 30% higher than they were 3 or 4 years ago. So no surprise then that real disposable incomes are way off pace. The RBA has a very poor record, by the way, of accurately estimating and predicting what real disposable income will be. They always seem to over-forecast and under-deliver. So expect, I suspect, the same again. And the bottom line is this. We are in a very interesting situation where strong credit is still in the system, potentially putting inflationary pressures in the system, at the same time as real disposable incomes are under dramatic pressure. This is why we have rising levels of financial pressure that I measure in my mortgage stress numbers. And when we look at that in more detail, we will see that it's not uniformly spread. There are some people doing okay, others not. But the bottom line is simply this. The conundrum of high credit growth whilst depressed wages is one we've got to keep an eye on, because this push-me-pull-you is pulling in two different directions and something's going to break. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.